I made a worksheet. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh my God. God bless you. Thank you so much for being you. Jesus, man. Well, if this was all up to me, oh God, we'd be so beyond screwed. I can't. You are literally the only person on this planet who makes me feel disorganized.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No. I need it. Because I literally feel like I'm the most organized, responsible person in most combinations in my life, but not with you.
And then you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, here comes this bitch. I made a worksheet for tonight.
No, it's amazing. God bless. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another new episode of Poor Unfortunate Podcast. I'm Caroline Ametti.
And I'm Connor Perkins. Welcome to all of our existing listeners. It's great having you here with us week after week or month after month or whatever after whatever.
Or whatever you get.
And to all of our new listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you liked the episode. Please remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. That way, all of the episodes download right to your device. You don't miss out on anything because of our kind of irregular schedule that's happening right now as we're in this like flux state situation. And if you liked what you heard, please remember to hit 5 stars and leave that rating and a written review so that other people can find the podcast. We're seeing search results. All that shenanigans, it really goes a long way for us. So thanks. All righty. Caroline, what's new?
Well, I guess we'll start with some of the more somber news of the week, which is the passing of Dame Angela Lansbury. I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, it's amazing hearing all of the firsthand accounts of interactions with her that people are sharing now. And she just seems like an absolute gem through and through. And it's just nice to really to hear that. So
this was a rough one.
Yeah, I knew this would be a tough one for you. Yeah.
It was one where I was like, this is going to be a day that wrecks me. And when it happened, I literally sat there and I just like, I cried for a bit. But it wasn't like sad tears because she had a full life. Mm-hmm. She did the most life. And I'm like, as much as it pains us all to see someone like her leave us, we have so much to be thankful for. She got to do so much. And I mean, if anything, the best way to remember her is to celebrate the work that she did. She's given us some of the most brilliant performances of anyone's lifetime. And she's done more than that. I saw someone who was like, the fact that she played an amateur Nazi fighting witch in the outskirts of England who went to an animated island and her like love interest was David Tomlinson. And that wasn't the biggest role of her career. In fact, it's one that most people overlook.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're a legend.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I didn't know that she made her film debut at 17.
Yeah.
And was nominated for an Oscar for that role in Gaslight. I had no clue. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Get it. Like, I had no idea. Yeah,
she's no joke. But she's also someone who demonstrates like you can have as meaningful or in some ways arguably an even more meaningful career in your later years.
Mm-hmm.
So many of what we remember her for and love her for are roles that she did in her older years, which like, Hollywood doesn't really afford many actresses to be able to do that type of work anymore. But like, think of how many Angela Lansbury's we'd have if we did.
I know.
If Hollywood told her you can't work anymore, we would not have gotten Eglantine Price. We would not have gotten Mrs. Potts. We would not have gotten the Dowager, whatever, Grandmama in Anastasia.
I almost That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just what it's exactly what you said. For a minute, I forgot that that was her too.
We wouldn't have gotten her in Death on the Nile.
And please, please watch her in the filmed production of Sweeney Todd.
Absolutely. Another one where she was older for that. Yeah. An older actress.
And she was Mama Rose when she was older. And then she was in Blithe Spirit, like in 2009.
Oh,
like,
my God. She was in A Little Night Music.
Oh, my God. I know. Oh, my gosh. What an icon.
It is a sad day because we have now had to reconcile with how lucky we have been. Mm-hmm. But it is a happy day in that we get to celebrate everything that Angela Lansbury has given mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. Her wonderful life, her wonderful legacy. And Triguna Mukwege's Trigorum Sadisti, Angela, we will miss you.
All right. Let's talk about some other Disney news. I know the pretty major piece of news that we're going to get into, so let me just cover some lighter things first. So, number one, Fantasmic will be returning to Walt Disney World at long last in November. So that's very exciting. We knew it was on the way. I'm just excited to see what the updates are going to be. That's good news. So, Connor, when he goes, we'll be able to see Fantasmic.
When I go, I'm gonna make sure that I see Fantasmic so I can report back on the
please.
Updates.
Yes, please. Another interesting piece of Disney news that I didn't have on my 2022 bingo card was an Idina Menzel documentary coming out on Disney Plus in December.
Right?
I'll take it, though. Like, give it to me. I'm very excited. But, it culminates in, like, her... It's kind of following her through her tour. We see clips from her career. Culminates in her concert. So, yeah, that's in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She-Hulk has reached its conclusion on Disney Plus.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. Okay. That ended.
Yep.
And the poster for Little Mermaid has been released. They didn't even put the name on the poster. I literally showed it to my mom and I was like, it just says Disney and May 26th. I'm
Power
like, it doesn't
move.
Even have the title. And she goes, you don't need the title.
Need it.
And I was like, that's right, mom.
That's the guts that I'm looking for when it comes to these live action remakes. So it just, every single thing gets me more excited.
Yeah.
Okay. And then on a less positive note, the big news this week coming out of Disney Parks was the price raise for the Disney Genie service.
As well as park admission tickets in Disneyland.
Yes. Right after our last episode. What a timely drop.
So now with Genie Plus, it used to be a flat rate where the day that you needed it, you get it, whatever. But in Walt Disney World now, it's a little bit different in Disneyland because in Disneyland you reserve Genie Plus service before your trip. You can also get it the day of, but you can reserve it ahead of it. But in Walt Disney World, the price is now going to vary based on the date that you visit. So it could start at $15. But so far in October, the highest price it's gone is now $22. And they're not saying that the $22, which is the highest price in October right now, is the cap. So it could go as high as they want it to go now, which is absurd. I was on Disney Twitter, as I usually am, and just reading some of the reactions that people are having, people who have trips in the works right now for October. I was reading a tweet of this one guy he's been planning a trip for his family, and it's a huge increase. He calculated it's a 46% increase from what he was prepared to pay to what now they're going to pay because of the dates that he's going to be there and these Disney Genie Plus varying by dates. It's this, it's infuriating. I am heartened by the amount of pushback that people are having. Obviously, the pushback only goes so far unless, like, you know, you actually don't go, don't buy the service, because they're looking at the numbers and they're seeing like, oh, it's going up and up and up. But the thing that I feel like is a little bit short-sighted for them is the fact that right now Disney parks are booming because there is revenge vacationing happening as a result of COVID, and that will end. And right now, the experiences that people are having in the parks, from the overcrowding to it just being overly complicated that they don't know how to go anymore. Even the seasoned people who know what they're doing, who know to plan ahead of time, they're having hard experiences with the whole process. this is not going to bode well, because when all of this ends, when this vacation revenge and the COVID influx ends, there are going to be a lot of people who are not going to be coming back for a while. And they've already isolated their annual pass holders. So they're taking a huge gamble on this less visitors who spend more money, or like who don't care how much money they spend. It's a huge gamble. A lot of people think it's really foolish, but it's incredible to me that in less than a year of Genie Plus being available, they have done this dramatic of a price increase. That's just not right.
And I can promise you that there will be like 3 days a year where it's $15, like randomly in like mid-January or something.
Yeah. If they advertise it, they're only required to have one.
Y'all, Connor, after the news dropped, Connor was like, should I go on my trip? And you know, that's how you know it's bad. When you said that, I was like, oh, we're on the darkest timeline. Like, you don't know if you want to go.
It's been 8 years since I've gone to Disney. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm having second thoughts about going right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm also going in the busiest week of the year. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to put myself through all of that. But Disney used to be very careful about how they adjusted prices, about when they adjusted prices. Mm-hmm. And it does not feel like they are taking that same care anymore. It just feels like they are making moves. They don't care what happens. And they're going to follow a day where they made huge changes to pricing. And not just on Genie Plus. In park tickets, on like premium services, like the lightsaber experience is now, those prices have gone up. So many price changes happened. And then the next day they were like, oh, Magic Band Plus is coming to Disneyland. Yeah. And Fantasmic's coming back to sort of, do their whole thing of like covering it up. But fortunately right now, people are still keeping their eye on what's happening and directing some of the attention at where it belongs. Obviously, Bob Chapek, who's up at the top, but also Josh D'Amaro in the Parks Division, because at the end of the day, he's also the one calling these shots. Mm-hmm. And don't let him get away just because he looks like a zaddy. Like, he's doing this shit. And there's other people, too, who are involved in this.
Yeah. And I mentioned this to you earlier, but it just really worries me. It feels like a slippery slope that I'm afraid to even say it out loud to give anybody ideas, but we were saying, you know, I can see something coming where you pay a premium price to get early access to dining reservations or to dine in prime times or the best seating. I don't even know. I'm not counting anything out anymore, unfortunately. And I think early access, especially for things like, you know, paying for early access to Cinderella's Royal Table, things like that. And people will pay it. And it's so sad. It's so sad.
Yeah. Where it's like they select a couple restaurants in each park and
those are the premium restaurants.
You have to pay for the reservation at the restaurant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pay for a reservation.
Because listen, it's the sad thing is it's not even unprecedented for really like the most high-end restaurants in New York City. That's actually a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they'll pick up on that. It's just so sad. Ugh.
This is what happens when sales and marketing people are leading a company and is not led by product or people who maintain the vision of the product that you had created. Mm-hmm. There are people who are only looking at revenue and statistics and not the heart.
Yeah.
That sucks. Oh, fuck. I also forgot to say, in terms of Disney news, I bought Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Oh, my God. Oh, and I said I wouldn't buy it till you did, so it's time.
So if you don't know what Disney Dreamlight Valley is, that's the Animal Crossing kind of style game. It's the life sim. I think of it kind of like Sims meets Animal Crossing meets Disney all in one. It's a game that is going to be officially launching in 2023, and I believe it's going to be free. But right now, you can have early access to the game by purchasing a Founders Pack, and they're at three different levels. There's a $30 one.
Oh, but of course they are, because isn't that just typical? $50
one and a $70 one that give you special things that no one else will have access to, like costumes, furniture, things like that.
Oh my God.
Early access to the game, and it's a cool, fun way to kind of be a part of the game in process, like as they're developing it, working out glitches and stuff like that, and supporting the folks who are trying to make this game and make it the best that it can be. And it is oodles of fun. It crashes on me every like 10 seconds because like I got the unlucky download for the Switch version that week, but it's redonkulous amount of fun.
Oh, like, okay.
I'm all right. I'm loving it.
Okay.
And just plowing through this shit.
Okay.
So yeah. Support game developers who are making Disney content.
Yeah, yeah. True, true, true. That's kind of what I had. I mean, that's what jumped out at me.
Alrighty. Well, this is our first wild card episode of season 3.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This is my fault. This is my fault on the delay.
No, we're in this
Thank
together.
Thank you all for your patience with us. We're really going to try and get you these podcast episodes whenever we possibly can. And please know that we are always thinking about the podcast. So like,
that's very true.
I am always thinking about the podcast. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I owe them something to the point where I'm currently trying to finalize merchandise for you all so that
I was wondering that can be done. If you're going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had said it before and I basically lied, but I'm working on the merchandise and I'm also working on totaling up whoever the winner was of the Beluga Savruga brackets from the last
which I forgot about you
episode of last season. And like, oh, right. Oh my God. But please know it's all on my radar. I'm thinking about it. I am. But anyway, this is our first wild card of this season, and we're going to be playing a game as usual. Mm-hmm. And this game is kind of inspired by a TikTok game that Caroline found. Do you want to sort of explain it?
Yeah, it's this trend that's going around TikTok right now and Instagram Reels and all of that, which apparently everybody who's, you know, makes these videos say they take forever. But it's like people will do little montages of like, hey, here's what my best friend or my significant other said. If I were a color, here's the color I would be. If I was a city, this is the city that I would be.
Yeah, and it's set to that song that they play in Divergent, where it's like, yeah, that one.
That one.
So basically what we've done is we've created 5 categories and we're going to do 5 completely random Disney characters for each category. And I'm going to say who I think that character would be as that category. And Caroline's going to say what she thinks that character would be at that category. And then we're going to turn it over to you on some sort of social media thing, like a Insta poll or something like that.
Yeah, head to the vote stories on who, and we will poll you.
On who you think did it better, me or Caroline, for each of these character categories.
Yeah.
So
people's choice. People's choice.
Yeah. So I've created a list of 50 random Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar characters. And Caroline has her own list of 50 characters. So we're going to just be choosing things at completely random and we're just gonna go for it. So our first category for this game is Disney characters as Disney parks attractions. So Caroline, you pick a number first.
27, please.
27 is Merlin.
Ooh.
All right. So you think of your Disney park attraction for Merlin. And I'll also say this kind of is obvious. Like if a character has a ride, like it probably shouldn't be that ride.
100%. Kind of 100%.
All right. All right. Merlin. Oh, I have my answer.
I have mine as well.
Okay. You do yours first.
I can't 100% explain it either, but he feels like Spaceship Earth to me.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not quite chaotic enough for him. I was kind of hoping something more chaotic would kind of pop into my mind, but I feel like he would tap into like the magic of communication and also just like the learning and the aspect of it.
And the time travel aspect.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so crazy because I thought Carousel of Progress.
Oh,
because I think
he
would be so interested in human progress throughout time and like the learning educational aspect. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna go throw it retro to like a Walt Disney classic.
Because
I feel like he's like a little bit of a classic. But those are, I feel like, I don't care what anyone says, those are the two correct answers.
We just decided it was a tie.
But you all can vote and figure it out. Oh, good on ya. Good on ya.
Oh,
that's
you too.
I'm proud of us. All right, I'm going to choose number 31.
31 is Robin Hood. Okay. What happens if we end up picking the same thing? Does the other person have to come up with something new, or do we admit that we pick the same thing?
I think we admit that we picked the same thing, but the second, the person who answered second has to pick something else.
Got you. Great.
Okay. I have mine.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to say Smuggler's Run.
Oh, that's a great choice. Because
that feels very Robin Hood. Like on a mission to try and do something. I mean, I haven't ridden Smuggler's Run, but...
No, it makes perfect sense.
It's called Smuggler's Run, and he's a smuggler, basically, of rich people's money.
Oh, my God. All right, yeah, no, that's so great, and it crossed my mind as well. I'm going to go Pirates of the Caribbean, just because swashbuckling adventure, kind of being on a chase kind of aspect of it, I feel like is very Robin Hood. And, yeah, the pirates are a little bit mischievous, but... So are the merry men. So I think he would enjoy that. Or that's his vibe.
Nice. Cool. I like this. It's fun.
We're so supportive of each other right now because we're like not keeping score at the moment. Like you all are going to decide.
Yeah,
so
it's you all are going to.
We're like, oh, that was great.
The behind the scenes of when these Insta polls are rolling. That's when it's going to be crazy. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Pick a number.
3.
Joy from Inside Out. Okay, I think I have mine.
Yeah, me too.
Go for it.
It's a small world.
Uh-huh.
I think just like the connective, like there's so like focusing on what we share, I think, and what connects all of us and how we can understand and appreciate each other. I just thought that's joy. Like I think at the heart of it is focusing on, you know, the good and what connects us. Yeah.
I am going to go a kind of different route for this. I'm choosing the Mad Tea Party.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that.
Because it's simple and fun.
Yeah.
But also has the potential to be, like, too much fun that, like, makes you sick. Funny. And, like it's just, like, it's structured as well. Like, you have the, like, you're never going to go outside of, like, where you are. Like, it has the structure. But within the structure, it can be just, like, too fucking much sometimes.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like joy can sometimes just be like too fucking much sometimes within her structures.
You know what makes me think of her with It's a Small World is how a lot of people react to It's a Small World, which is like the
like gratingness. Yeah.
But she just buys into that 100. It's like her with sadness, you know, like that kind of, that's like us and her. And It's a Small World.
Yeah. She's the one who's going to sing the song for the rest of the freaking day in the park.
Yes.
All right. Okie dokie.
Yeah, pick a number.
I choose my call sheet number, 13.
Wendy Darling.
Oh, so we're not picking Peter Pan's Flight because that's too freaking easy.
That's cheating. Okay.
Oh, I have mine.
Okay, yeah, me too. Go for it.
Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
I almost picked that. But you know what made me change my mind is I was like, wait, but she and the mermaids don't get along. Is this like so she can reconcile that?
Well, see, I would take her to Voyage of the Little Mermaid, like the show in Hollywood Studios that's like currently hasn't reopened.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I feel like Wendy, she wants the experience, but like she doesn't, I don't know if she wants like a full ride kind of thing. Because I don't know if she wants to be like taken for the ride.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm going with a mermaid situation is because she wants to see the mermaids. Like, those are her, like, happy thoughts, blah, blah, blah. It's just, like, when she gets there, she finds out, like, they're awful.
Okay, yeah.
And this puts enough distance between her.
Yeah.
And, like, also in terms of, like, being her, I feel like Voyage of the Little Mermaid sort of sums it up where it's like, you go and you're like, yep, I get the gist of this. That kind of, that all makes sense. And like, that's kind of Wendy where it's like, yep, I get what you're supposed to be. Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, that's funny. I like that.
I don't know if that's a good one.
No,
but
I like that. I like that. I'm going to go with the carousel because.
The carousel?
The carousel.
We're putting the inflection on the last
syllable. The carousel. Because I feel like at the heart of it all, she wants the typical romantic princessy vibes. Like the whole time she's pursuing in Peter this like classic love story that's never going to happen. So she can have her princess elegant moment on the carousel. And it's also very like predictable, orderly, just like the way that she's kind of trying to bring order and predictability to her whole situation. I think this is just like a classy moment for her. And I actually feel like that's what she needs after everything that she's been through. As we've discussed in a previous episode, she's been through a lot. And I think she needs her princess fairy tale moment.
With someone other than Peter, because he's an ass.
Oh, yeah. No way. Alone.
Yeah.
Alone. No one else on the ride. She just needs a minute. Princess
for yourself. Yeah. Give her a break.
Yeah, just give her a break. You just
see her, like, collapse. Just be like, I'm tired.
Yes.
All right, pick another number.
44.
44 is Aladdin.
Oh.
I think I have mine.
I think I have mine as well. Go ahead.
You have used this, but I haven't used it. But I'm going to say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the plot line of Jack Sparrow sort of like hiding and in that is kind of Aladdin also, of like being someone who's sort of like being hunted through the whole thing. It's got the same like spirit of adventure that Aladdin has. So I'm going to say Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, that's a great call. That's a great call. I'm going to go with Flight of Passage. It's actually not for the obvious flight reason, even though sure, that ties into it as well. But the whole like theme of that ride is kind of like seize the moment, let yourself be taken in by a world that is unfamiliar to you. And that's like his whole vibe. That's everything that attracts Jasmine to him. And I think that's what's really exciting about the Flight of Passage ride as well. So I think like the core themes are very Aladdin and just like escaping and being someone else. Of course, that ties into, you know, everything that he does. I mean,
like the
Avatar. He's lying, but okay. Yeah, but becoming an avatar and like, yeah, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you.
Okay.
All right. So those are our five for characters as Disney Parks attractions.
Yeah. Fun.
Our next category, Disney characters as Broadway shows. We're bringing the theater.
Yes, we are. Pick a number.
Okay. 21.
21 is Madame Leota.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky, spooky.
Oh, I think I have mine.
I have mine. I feel like we might be picking the same one. Go ahead.
I'm going to say the Addams Family.
I almost picked that. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Just because it's a spooky show, but it's also like fun, involves their house.
Yeah.
Like it fits the tone of the Haunted Mansion. I almost went with Beetlejuice.
That's what I picked.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Great. Yeah. So the Addams Family. Yeah. And
for literally the exact same reasons, pretty much. And also it's just like, you know, they say welcome to a show about death. So yeah, that's all. What else is there to say besides that? And also again, the same thing. The little bit of the mischievous edge to it that the Haunted Mansion and Madame Leota have. I feel like those are equally good answers.
Yeah, I feel like it's basically like the same kind of show. Yeah. The thing that sort of broke it for me between the two was I was, in terms of thinking about it, like a main character of a show that sort of vibed with Madame Leota, I was like, oh, Morticia and Madame Leota feel like they could be like cousins.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's a good one. That was fun.
That's fun. I like that one. That's fun. Okay. 37.
Dr. Facilier.
Oh, well, well. Okay.
Oh, I have mine.
Oh, I have mine too. I hope we didn't pick the same one.
Oh, God. Did we pick the same one?
Oh, I go first.
What's yours?
Right?
Yeah.
Once on this island.
Yeah, that's what I
damn
chose.
Damn it. And it's
okay,
literally.
No, I have to pick something else.
Okay, so I'll go into my explanation. It's literally because Dr. Facilier would love Papa Gay. It's all the same thing. Somebody selling their soul in exchange for their dreams. I mean, that's exactly what he's about. It's like, yeah. it's so right.
If I had to pick a different one except for Once on This Island, I would say Damn Yankees because it's like the
yes,
same thing.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, but that I like that choice. That's a fun one. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at us. Oh, my Come God. On. We're so in sync. It's like we're friends.
Oh, God.
Okay. Next one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, let's just round it out. Number one. Who did you think of first?
Number one is Princess Jasmine.
Princess Jasmine. So obviously Aladdin on Broadway.
It's out.
No,
it's out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've got mine.
There's one that I want to pick, but I don't know if it fits because I haven't seen it.
Oh. Go for it.
Does she fit Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812?
Yeah. That's an interesting choice.
My other pick was As You Like It.
Oh, shit. I like because both there's, of those.
There's like some Rosalind vibes happening.
Oh,
like
yeah, there are.
Tiny identity, rebelling against the court. Yeah. Finding myself.
Yeah.
Finding what I want in a person.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
I think I'm going to say As You Like It. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm counting that as a Broadway show because it's been on Broadway.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh.
What's yours?
Mine's six.
Ah, so good.
Just because, you know, I'm not a prize to be won vibes. You know, women breaking out of royal expectations. And I think she would especially love Catherine Parr. And I don't need your love. She would.
Yeah,
she
all the
would
children
just,
are going to. Oh, everybody's going to side with you. Everyone's going to side with you. They're going to be like, fuck Shakespeare.
No, but I love Shakespeare.
I know, but everyone loves six more than Shakespeare right now.
We'll see. Maybe you're wrong. Also, I would love to see Princess Jasmine's outfit turned into a six-style costume.
Right?
Oh, that'd be hot.
I would kind of like to see them reimagine all the Disney princesses as... Let's find an artist, reimagine all the Disney princesses in a six-style...
In like a pop concert. Pop yeah. Oh.
Concert.
Yes.
Rhinestoned the F out of it.
Yes.
Spikes, bejeweled boots.
Definitely. Somebody needs to do that at D23. I'm surprised somebody hasn't.
Yeah.
That's like... calling D23's name.
Yeah, like, you know? I mean, they've done, like, princesses as Jedi, which it's like, I'm obsessed with.
Yeah,
those.
And a group did princesses as, like, a cheer team this year, like, but it's...
Yeah.
Princesses a la the style of six is so good.
It's niche and
perfect. It's us in a nutshell.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Number nine.
Tinkerbell.
Ooh.
Okay, I think I have mine.
You do? This one's stumping me a little.
Yeah, I think I have mine.
Okay, one more second. Oh, all right. Yeah, this is so weird. All right, sure. The thing that popped into my head was Chicago.
Oh.
Because, like, the Merry Murderesses, like, I feel like that's very Tinkerbell. Like, kind of vengeful, kind of pissed at the guy, but loves him. Fame hungry a little, like attention hungry. Yeah.
And I feel like Tinkerbell would be good at Fosse.
Yeah. Actually, like Fosse, the way that Tinkerbell she's drawn vibe. Is very, feels very
She's like a
that.
Fosse girl.
She is a Fosse. The realizations we're coming to in this episode are cracking me up.
Tinkerbell, she's a Fosse girl. Well, first off, my mind in a dark realm, I immediately was like, oh, Carrie. But no.
Yeah.
I'm going to put forward Heathers.
That's a good
choice. I feel
choice.
Like there is something very like, shut up, Heather, like about Tinkerbell.
Definitely. Welcome to my candy store. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's like deviousness. Yeah. There's like a plotting. There's like a revenge kind
of All right,
of
we were kind of getting
at
the same thing.
It.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's going to be Heathers.
That's good though, yeah. Oh, this is fun. I feel like we always have this point with our games where we're like, oh,
we're
this
like,
is
this is
fun.
A fun game. Good for us.
Oh, God.
Okay. Let's do number eight.
This is going to be such a random one. Number eight is Dante from Coco.
Dante from Coco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
I think I have one and I just like
okay
I'm trying to like get at what the essence of Dante is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like chaos.
Yeah,
it's like chaotic good.
Yeah,
so I can't think of anything more chaotic good than Seussical.
Oh I like that a lot.
And I feel like that kind of leans into him once he's in the land of the dead, too, where it's kind of like, all the things you can, I don't know.
No, I'm with you, actually.
Chaotic good.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I was
going to
say Evita.
That's like, hilarious.
No.
That would have had to be presented with no comment. All right. I'm going to say kind of, again, similar reasons. I'm just going to say cats. Kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a ton of sense, really. Like, not a whole lot going on upstairs. But endearing in a strange way. And then we've got the journey to the land of the dead is at the center of the story. So
yeah, you can't not look away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a little
and
bit
I
bizarre.
And I think Seussical's kind of the same way, yeah, too, where it's like, you can't look away from it.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
And the more you look at it, the more you start to see things that maybe you didn't want to.
Oh, I'm crying.
Oh, God.
That's hilarious.
That does it for that category.
That was fun.
Moving on to the next one. Characters as locales.
Okay. Number 21, please.
Ursula.
Ooh, Ursula. Now, we're locales, we're talking cities, countries kind of thing.
Yeah, like cities, countries, types of places. So like,
got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I have mine.
Yeah, I have mine. I'm gonna say she's New York City.
Oh.
Like, not for nothing, not to paint such a sad picture of New York City, but attracts poor unfortunate souls. People who are a little lost or who are looking for their heart's desire.
Uh-huh.
A little bit scary sometimes. A little bit dark sometimes. But there's that thing that draws you there. Just like, you know, like Ariel's drawn to her even though she knows she's dangerous. That's so New York City, right? Like, we're all like, yeah, even though it's like we sometimes have to live in shitty apartments here and deal with all this crap, a lot of people are just drawn to this place and can't really explain why.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't really think hard enough about this one.
Oh, no. I'm
now
sure you
that
did.
You think you say that. No, because I just said the Marianas Trench. I'm like, it's dark.
Wait, yes,
it's,
yes. Please
it's
keep
in
that
water.
Answer. That might
it's
be the winner,
deep.
Honestly.
You don't really know what's happening down there. It's like powerful because it's just so unknown.
Oh, my God. That's my favorite thing I've ever heard.
I mean,
that could
Ursula,
very well
what
win.
A well-rounded character. I mean, you could be anything now. You could be New York City or you could be the Marianas fucking Trench.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to leave that.
But absolutely.
Submitted with no comment. Okay. Let's do a even 40.
40 is, and again, we can't go for the obvious answer with this. 40 is Babette from Beauty and the Beast.
Hmm. Oh, I know my answer.
Okay.
Okay. So I think Babette is the Maldives because she is like a total lifestyle influencer, fashion influencer, and she needs a location that's going to make her look good. Like she would be Instagram, TikTok famous kind of person. So I have her as the Maldives.
That's really good. Okay, tell me, maybe my answer's cheating. You can tell me and I'll pick something else. But I feel like I felt like Paris would be cheating, but I feel like she's specifically Versailles, the Palace of Versailles.
I don't think that's cheating.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say the Moulin Rouge.
Oh. But Versailles is ornate, full of surfaces to dust, if we're being real. But just like ornate, I feel like Babette would totally idolize Marie Antoinette and be like obsessed with like her vibes and like the fact that she lived there. Yeah, I don't have much more commentary further than that, but it's just like, yeah, it's just like a little bit overdone too, which I feel like Babette also is.
Versailles goals.
Let's be real. Tinkerbell, Fosse Girl, Versailles, goals.
That's the episode. Call it. All right.
Okay. Number 15, please.
Number 15 is Wanda Maximoff.
Okay. I have mine.
Okay. I think I have mine.
So, I think that she is Sleepy Hollow, New York, but like as it stands today. So, you know, Connor and I know because we go almost every year, but it's a very now very peaceful, quiet, but lovely suburb. So I feel like for that, you know, that idyllic, you know, quiet life that she longs for is part of it. But then Sleepy Hollow still has that mystical, creepy element and like very like ancient magic-y feel to it. So I feel like she could still kind of feel at home with like the, you know, the edge, the magical edge and darker edge that she has. I feel like she might find people that she could relate to. I guess I'm placing her there. I shouldn't be doing that. It's who is she? And I feel like Sleepy Hollow encapsulates the darker magic, but also suburban combination that is her.
I have her as Berlin.
Hmm.
Because I am also thinking of her fresh off of Multiverse of Madness and at her root sort of being chaos magic. And when I think of the phrase chaos magic and sort of distill that into a place, I think of Berlin's art scene.
Mm.
Because it is it feels like it's chaos magic, whereas like art and theater in Berlin is edgy, it's grittier, it feels sort of boundless in creativity, which is what a Scarlet Witch is, sort of boundless in creativity. And you have the ability to sort of disappear if you want in a city. And you have the ability to sort of stand out as well, which I feel like Wanda at times wants to do both. So I'm going to say Berlin.
Fun answer. Fun answer. I like that.
All right. Let's do number 37.
Mm. 37 is Jiminy Cricket.
Fuck. Okay. I think I have an answer. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
Okay. So thinking of Jiminy Cricket as a conscience, as someone who tries really hard and isn't always successful, but he has sort of like a duty to try and guide people to do what's right. And again, doesn't always succeed. I'm going to say he's the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Also, if he was there, he would have his work fucking cut out for
wow.
him. But I think Jiminy Cricket is the Supreme Court trying, not always succeeding to do what's
wow,
right.
Wow, that is funny. Oh, that was unexpected. Okay, so I'm going to go with Missouri. It's sort of random.
Just Missouri.
Because it's very just like something about Jiminy Cricket is very just like down home, like Americana, like basic, just like do the right thing, do the good thing. Very just like,
yeah,
grassroots in that way. Grassroots isn't the word that I'm looking for. It's also just like, you know, where, you know, Walt Disney's from there, just like very like basic level. When you wish upon a star, your dreams are going to come true.
In Missouri.
Why did I think about Missouri? I don't know. I was also considering Iowa. Very like River City, Iowa from The Music Man. Just very just
yeah,
like
yeah,
basic.
Yeah, if he was a musical, Jiminy Cricket would probably be The Music Man.
Yes, yes, yes. Interesting. Agreed. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Supreme Court of Missouri. How will you all decide?
How? Okay.
Okay, you know, I'll also pick number one from your list.
Roger Radcliffe.
Oh.
Someplace sexy.
This is hard. He's so London. Where else did he go?
I know where.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do.
Okay. I'm going to say that he's the East Village in Manhattan.
Mm.
Lots of arts, lots of music. I think he would be very happy, like, in a tiny little apartment down there, just, like, doing his thing, going to little jazz clubs every night. Could walk the dog in the park.
Tompkins Square Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Live right off that shit.
Mm. Yeah, you
7th
did.
7th Street apartment.
Mm. Mm. And there's something I think that's still a little bit sexy about the East Village. So, yeah.
Yeah. Until Friday, Saturday, Sunday hits and everyone's like vomiting trash all over the sidewalk.
Hated
it there. I hated that time. Oh, God. Well, I'm going to take East Village a couple steps further. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say Portland, Oregon.
Ooh.
It's very artsy-fartsy, hipster.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking of, like, Portlandia. And I'm
definitely
like, Roger Radcliffe would fit right in there.
Uh-huh.
Smoking a pipe.
Yes. Get out. Yes.
Yeah.
I
if
love
you
that.
Smoke a pipe, you're probably in Portland.
I love that. I feel like New Orleans probably could have been a fit for him as well.
Yeah. Or even Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next category, characters as a chain store or restaurant, because this is who Caroline and I are as humans.
Okay, pick a number.
Okay, I choose the number. 39.
39 is Flynn Rider.
Oh! Mm. I think I have my answer.
Oh, God. This is so funny.
Okay. I'm going to say Flynn Rider is a Chili's. Because, like, from the outside, you're like, oh, a Chili's. Like, oh, that's nice. And then you get in there and you're like, oh, this shit's really cheap. It's not what you would expect. But then it's really cheap food. And then it ends up being really good.
It's really
and
good,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh, and I feel like that's the journey of Flynn is the
Aww.
You expect one thing, turns out it's something else. It's a little bit more rough around the edges, that sort of thing, but still really good.
Mm, and that's I Chili's. Like that. And I love Chili's and I love Flynn. I'm going to say that he's a Cheesecake Factory.
Oh.
Because. Yeah.
This is freaking nuts.
I can't believe we're talking about this seriously. Oh, God. Because think about it, he wants to be rich but isn't. And that's kind of why you go to the Cheesecake Factory in a way. Like you want
that's,
a really
that's very
upscale
true.
Experience within your price mm-hmm. range in a way that won't kill your wallet. And you get
Or the Cheesecake sister, the Grand Lux Cafe.
The Grand Lux, which I love the Grand Lux. And like, you know, you get two meals out of it usually. Like he like in that way, like he's gotta survive. He's gotta make do with what he's got. And what am I saying?
This is probably the best category we've ever come up with for anything.
Oh God. Yeah. And
oh my
like
God.
Yeah. You get the luxury feel of being in this big overdone castle kind of interior, but
with Egyptian and yeah. Art Deco influences.
And Italian.
All of it.
Yeah.
And cheesecake.
And cheesecake.
Oh my God. Caroline, I'm crying. Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Good number. We got four more of these.
Oh God. Seven.
Pocahontas.
Oh.
Oh, I think I have mine.
Okay, I have mine. Go ahead.
No, you go first.
Oh, right. Okay. I think that Pocahontas is a Lowe's, like home and garden store.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like that's how you work with Mother Nature. You go there and you buy like, you know, the nice gardening tools or like you can just buy like straight up plywood there and like make anything that you want. And I feel like that's very her. Just like back to basics, back to like tools that are just going to help your home be the best that it can be. I feel like her home is very important to her. I don't know. It just feels very her.
I'm going to say Pocahontas is a Sprouts Farmer's Market.
I've never heard of that.
Sprouts is like a grocery store that sort of caters itself as like being like a farmer's market. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. If you don't know what a Sprouts is, then I guess if I can't use Sprouts, I'd say like a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
I feel like Pocahontas is like, let's bring things of the earth. Like, let's get our hands deep in it. Let's have respect for the food that we're eating.
Yeah.
Like Sprouts has like a lot of organic things that are sort of, you know, whether it's true or not, responsibly sourced, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I feel like that would be important for Pocahontas. So
yeah,
she's a
definitely
chain store. She'd probably be a Sprouts.
Yeah.
Or
she
Whole
like
Foods.
Just like, yeah, yeah, definitely. She's one of the characters who would pretty much never be a chain store. So that's why this was a really great category.
Yeah. If she has to be a chain store, I'm going to put her as a Sprouts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to say 50.
Okay, 50 is Kevin from Up.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I think I have an answer.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to say Kevin is a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, that feels so right to me.
It's just sort of like chaotic, familial energy.
Yes.
Because there's families there.
Yeah.
Where you can be very easily distracted and like do something. A kid could take off running and like you just don't know where they are. There's foods to be tempted by, like pizza, chocolate, soda, desserts, things like that. And on one hand, it's very fun. And then on the other hand, it's like when you're there, you're in survival mode. And that's Kevin. Fun and survival mode.
That's so great. I think I'd probably end up voting for yours. But again, in the same vein, I feel like Kevin's a Toys R Us.
Oh.
Again, it's always kind of a mess in there, but there's always really fun things to find and like really cool toys that you're like, wow, this is actually amazing. If you can get past all of the kids screaming and like for not getting the toy they wanted and kind of just like, I always feel like the Toys R Us by me, there's always just like boxes everywhere.
Yeah.
Like dolls coming out of their boxes. Just making, but again, families are there. It's like a big treat. Like you get to go to Toys R Us and like pick out a toy. I don't know. Ugh, that energy feels like
very. I miss Toys R Us.
Me too. Yeah. And also is rare and endangered like Kevin. So.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Hard to find.
True.
Hard to find these days.
You're up. This is fucking ridiculous.
22.
Mary Poppins.
Oh.
I know what I'm going with.
Okay. I'm going to go with Starbucks. Number one, just for the vibes of like coffee, caffeine, get things done, efficiency, all of that stuff. I also just feel like Starbucks these days is like predictable. It's efficient, like the order ahead system or the drive through. It's like extremely efficient and dependable, and you're going to get the same thing every time. And just like the way that they've updated all of them, they're extremely like clean, sleek, very like practically perfect vibes to me. Just like it's gonna get it right every time because all of these Starbucks are like the same, and there's something about that that feels very her. And I could kind of see her hanging out in one.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've got Mary Poppins as a Kirkland's.
Oh.
Because a Kirkland's is basically, you know, her carpet bag opens up into a Kirkland's and she just pours shit out of a Kirkland's. Like, the lamp is from a Kirkland's.
That's
so
funny.
The plant is from a Kirkland's.
Yeah.
Like, she just is. It's nice. It's nicer stuff that gets the job done. It can make everything just feel a little bit more magical. Like, make your house feel a little bit more magical because you're never going to find something like that shit in a Kirkland's. It smells nice. It's affordable home goods at a slightly elevated.
Sure. Yeah.
In a slightly elevated way.
Yeah.
And you know the ladies who hold down the Kirklands there, like they're going to make sure you're not touching shit like Mary Poppins would. She'd be like, kids, you can't touch that. You can't touch that. That's made of glass. Like, it's made of real glass. It's not the fake glass. It's made of real glass.
Yeah.
But mostly her carpet bag, I'm convinced, opens up into a Kirkland's. And she just grabs
shit. We're learning a lot of new things in this episode.
We're learning the truth. That's what we're learning, Caroline. Okay, last one on this category.
Thank God. This is a tough one.
I'm going to choose number 45.
Number 45 is Miko. Yeah.
Oh.
Got one.
Got mine.
Go ahead.
He is a Cracker Barrel.
Ooh.
Because of that bread basket that you get, where it's all different kinds of breads. You get the cornbread, you get the regular bread, you get the biscuits. Because Miko is biscuits, and like, you know, there's like a mischievous side. Like, like everyone always like gets up to something in the gift store of a Cracker Barrel. Like, when you're there with your family, like, you always come away with like a story of something that happened at the Cracker Barrel, whether it's, you know, someone found some weird ass CD on the rack and you're like making a joke about it, or you go up to your mom with like a puppet on your hand and you're just like bugging her. And that feels very Miko.
That is really funny.
But mostly the bread basket is kind of what's bringing me to the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like Miko is an Insomnia Cookies. Again, the cookie factor.
Oh, that is good.
That's where you go when you want to kind of have your little like go to town on sweets moment and kind of just like let yourself go and just treat yourself and not really think about it. And just the fact that you can get it at late hours, like the kind of like off kilter energy of that, like you'll see
because he's a raccoon.
Yeah, oh, right. Exactly. I didn't even think of that actually. Yeah, you'll just see some folks at an Insomnia Cookies late at night, and that's kind of
and they
Miko's
welcome
energy.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like kind of always getting up to something. Yeah, that's when you're up to something. You're out causing trouble. That's when you go to Insomnia Cookies to kind of close out the night.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's Miko.
Ridiculous.
So ridiculous. My God.
And our last category for characters is characters as a Halloween item, since Halloween's coming up.
Yeah, I love this. How about 40?
Ah, I'm so glad you picked this. Roquefort. From Aristocats. Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right. I couldn't tell you why, but you know those marshmallow ropes?
No.
Oh, you don't?
What?
I used to like, I feel like people don't get them when they trick or treat anymore, but.
Like a peep?
No. Google it. Let me see if I'm correct in describing it. Like, they would be in pastel colors, like marshmallow twists.
I don't think I have ever seen this shit in my life.
Get out of here. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. I literally don't know why this felt like him to me, but it's just, like, soft and sweet. It's, like, a little... For me, it was always, like, a little treat. Like, I would always look forward to, like, hopefully getting some. And I don't know, just, like, the...
What?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Maybe it was one of my neighbors who always gave them out, but it's sort of like just like the pastel colors, something about that, the softness and the sweetness of that feels very Roquefort. He doesn't feel very like spooky Halloween stuff to me.
Mm.
So something softer and just like a little like surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he's a little surprise supporting character, you know?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Even though you don't know what the marshmallow rope is. I'm so sorry.
I looked at the picture of them and never seen them in my freaking life. But I have Roquefort as one of those baby gourds.
Oh, shoot. You win.
Because he's just like, he's trying real hard to be a regular gourd or like a full-ass pumpkin. But he's just not. And you're never going to carve him. But when you find that little gourd that you love, you just, it's like, this is my gourd. And... like they're going to be supporting as well. Like they're going to be there to support the other decorations, but they're going to do their damn job. And Roquefort does his damn job, and he does not get dismayed or give up. He makes it happen. He figures out the mystery with those cats, and he saves their damn lives. And that's a small gourd, a baby gourd on your mantle can save a life.
Oh, heavens.
This episode. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, pick a number.
I'll go with 6.
6 is Esmeralda.
Okay, I think I have something.
Okay.
I'm going to say that she is a hard spiced cider.
Oh.
Because she's got some like heat and some fire to her, but she's always coming from like a very sweet, genuine place as well. She has a soft side to her. There's a bit of a rebel in her, which is where the alcohol kicks in. And like, she's someone you want to have around, like on Halloween. And I feel like a spice cider, if you're, you know, 21 and over, is something you might want to have around for you on the night. Like if you're giving out candy or something like that, I'm like, a nice spice cider, I'm like, that would be good. So spiced hard cider.
I like that. Yeah, that feels right to me. To me, and this is a bit generic, I guess, but she is just like, she's a mask that someone would wear on Halloween.
Ooh.
Because I'm just thinking Feast of Fools, you know, people dressing up, being things that they aren't. But then also, I think she uses disguises and kind of blending into the crowd and being able to disappear as an advantage. So, yeah, that just, that any kind of disguise, but I just kept coming back to like a mask. And also, I think, you know, if you really want to get deep with it, does she put on a mask of like a tougher exterior sometimes to survive? Sure.
All right, pick a number.
11.
11 is Prince Eric.
Ooh. Okay, I've got something.
I think I've got something too.
Okay. You're probably going to laugh. I feel like Prince Eric is a hayride.
Oh, my, Caroline.
Like, I feel like it's like he's going to be one of those. It's sure, it's a little bit fall, not necessarily Halloween, but like he's the guy that you want to do your basic couple-y fall activity with. You know, like I want to sit in the little hayride and like hold hands with Prince Eric. And I feel like it's very reminiscent of him, like, you know, bringing Ariel to town and the little card and everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he'd be into the more basic side of Halloween and fall. And that's fine because I'm a basic girl. So we would have a good time.
Yeah. Also leaning into sort of the basic quality. I have him as a cape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it is sort of like a base to a lot of Halloween costumes. And also in the movie, he does work that
cape. He knows cape. How to rock a cape. Yeah.
He worked that cape, bitch. Like, he gets it. So he can be my cape. He can be anybody's cape.
Why did we both turn this into like a pitch for him to date us?
I don't know.
Why did that happen?
But I'm not mad about it.
Oh, no. No, I get it.
I'm going to choose number 12.
Number 12 is Mirabelle from Encanto.
I keep dwelling on this one thing and I don't know if it's a good fit or not, but I just trust can't your gut. Get out of my head.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say that Mirabelle is a McDonald's Halloween bucket.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird. We pick similar things.
Because one, a McDonald's Halloween bucket is so versatile because you can use it to hold some candy. And she kind of holds the family together. You can dress it up and it can be like a decoration in your house. It brings some nostalgia. And I feel like Mirabelle is also that, like trying to remind people of like what means the most and like where they're from. And a McDonald's Halloween bucket brings you back to your childhood, getting your McDonald's Halloween bucket.
No, I'm with that.
On the outside, it's like fun spooky. And I feel like Mirabelle at Halloween would be like fun spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if this is a good one or not, but I'm just, she to me is a McDonald's Halloween bucket.
I love that. No, mine's sort of similar. To me, she's like that big bowl of candy that really nice neighbor leaves out where you don't even have to knock on the door and say trick or treat. They just trust you to take a fair amount of candy and like leave enough for everybody. I can't 100% explain why that feels like Mirabelle to me, but it's very like good-hearted, assuming the best of people, generous, and just like the house that you want to keep going back to every year.
Yeah.
Just like the casita. So
good for you, Mirabelle.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Last one.
Okay, 31.
31 is Donald Duck.
Oh. Yeah, I've got it.
Okay, I think I've got mine.
Okay. I feel like Donald is Sour Patch Kids.
I thought of that.
You know, of course, it's pretty self-explanatory. He's got that kind of biting, sour outside. And then once you give him some time, he always has that sweetness. And then sometimes it goes back to being sour again. But yeah, there's literally nothing else to say. I feel like that distills him pretty well.
Yeah. For Donald, I love Donald so much. He's my favorite Fab Five. But he usually has very big plans. They're not always executed very well. Mm-hmm. And he can be extremely temperamental about that. And I feel like that's a fog machine. A fog machine has big plans on the delivery.
So true.
But it can be extremely temperamental. Yeah. It's never warmed up and ready when you need it to go. Yeah. And when it decides to go, it like sputters and occasionally it'll just do shit on its own.
Oh, that's
and
I feel like so that's funny.
I feel like that's Donald. Big plans, chaos, well-intentioned.
Yes, I agree.
Fog machine.
I agree.
All right, there you have it. Those are our five categories. That was super fun.
This is so ridiculous.
Wild.
I love it.
That was wild. We have some quotes for t-shirts.
Oh,
for sure.
Ever. Oh, gosh.
But before we close things out, let's just do like a quick little lightning round of some categories of you and me as some Disney things.
Yeah.
So I'll do you and you do me.
I love it.
Okay. So Disney Castle. What Disney Castle am I?
I know. You are 100% the Castle of Magical Dreams, the new castle in Hong Kong Disneyland.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I feel like it definitely encapsulates some of the slut for spectacle energy, but it's just got a little bit of everything. And I just feel like that feel like as the most like extravagant, but also it's like exciting. And you're always like looking for like little like Easter eggs and what other things that you can spot in it. And it's just like, yeah, that's just so it's really the slut for spectacle thing. But that's just being able to include like all of the princesses and like, yeah, that's totally you. That's totally you. And the colors of it. Yeah, that's you.
All right. Caroline, you are the Castle of Corona from Tangled because it is something different, but beautiful. It's not like the architecture of the castle is very unexpected. When I saw it the first time, I was like, this is very unexpected, but it is absolutely beautiful. And the Castle of Corona also comes with the kingdom right on top of it. So like an entire support system, an entire like loving family of people right with it. And that's you, where like you surround yourself with people who you love and support, and then they support and love you back. And I feel like that it's a symbiotic relationship, and that feels very Caroline to me.
My God, my description was shitting compared to yours.
Slut for spectacle? That's me.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
All right.
All right. Next category, Disney song.
This is going to be hard.
Okay. This might be reductive, but Caroline is a Disney song, Almost There.
Oh!
I associate that song with you a lot because I know that you would play that during finals weeks and midterms weeks and like things like that. But it's also very Capricorn of you. Like, determined, trying hard, just like unrelenting, constantly busy. Like, I am going to make it happen. And that feels very you.
Oh, I love that. I think that you are Listen With Your Heart from Pocahontas.
Oh.
Rather, you know, not a typical like big Disney song that you would think, but I feel like that's what you constantly keep coming back to. Like, and I feel like you have your own little inner Grandmother Willow inside of like, you're always able to come back to like, who do you love? What do you love? What are the things that are the most important to you, even though like when things can get really difficult or complicated, I feel like you're always able to come back to like the core of like what really matters to you and let that drive you.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a beautiful song. And I feel like a lot of people forget about it.
Yeah. But it don't like sleep on it also. That's why it's a great fit for you.
Yeah. God, the music in Pocahontas is so freaking
good. I know.
All right. Next category, Disney attraction.
Mm.
Caroline, obviously, your Tower of Terror.
Oh, God.
I have one. I think I have one for you that I just like always associate you with. So I always think of you as this ride, and I don't know why, but it's a small world.
Oh, okay.
There's something about like the message of like, oh, I'm going to find the good in everything, which is very you. That's but nice. Also just artistically, it feel like I don't know what it is, but something like the clock just I associate with you. I don't know why.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I was between that and I was between the Great Movie Ride.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, I'm like, if I'm going to pick one ride for Caroline, I probably want to put it in Magic Kingdom because I feel like that, like if Caroline had one day in Disney World, where would she go? She'd go to the Magic Kingdom. And I'm like, and what feels most of the essence of Caroline? Main Street USA. But Main Street USA isn't a ride. Mm. So what is the ride that feels closest to Main Street USA?
Yeah, I feel
ironically, you. Ironically, it's a small world to me. I don't know.
I feel you.
I don't know. But there's just something so classic Disney about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you and Disney, like you are a classic Disney parks person.
Yeah, that's like, so interesting.
I could see you in an old photograph being one of the first people to ride It's a Small World in Disneyland.
Oh.
With like this shit eating grin on your face and a balloon.
Well, I kind of picked yours and I'm not 100% convinced about mine either. But okay. I kind of love now that this one that I was between for me is literally right across the way, which is Peter Pan's Flight. So first of all, I just love that they're just across the way from each other. You know what I mean? Mm. But
yeah, I know what you mean.
Just again, classic Disney, but not in the same way. Like,
yeah,
It's a Small World is a different classic Disney from Peter Pan's Flight. Classic Disney in the return to like magic and being young again and like the real heart of the whole thing feels very you. And again, that classic, it's about magic. It's about having an adventure. I feel like that vibe to me is very you. And then also, I just love the aspect of it that it's just so effing popular. And like, I feel like, you know, I feel like just like with everything that's been happening with your career lately, I have this feeling of
oh my God,
like, yes, like people are just like recognizing like all of the good shit that's going on with you. Get and out. Like people kind of always see that people like the lines for Peter Pan's Flight have like every time I go back, I expect that I'll be able to walk on and I never can. And it's always popular. And I feel like people are drawn to you in the same way and like want to keep coming back for it and like worth the wait. How about that?
And see, like that's the thing about It's a Small World that I think of with you as well. It's like there's always going to be a little bit of a line for It's a Small World, and It's a Small World is never going to go away. Like it's reliable. It's going to be here for you, and it's going to take you on a journey, and it's going to be like
sometimes a little bit annoying.
No. But like
sometimes a little bit like manic if you listen really closely.
but just like it's got a little bit of everything in it. And I feel like Caroline, you've got a little bit of everything in you.
Oh. Also noted, you're the version of Peter Pan's Flight without the tinfoil and the volcano, of course.
Oh. I mean, I would be honored if I was even tinfoil volcano.
And also just the artistry of like flying over London, like the artistry and like the visual play that happens with that is just like the taste level of that is very you.
Peter Pan's Flight is like a ride that like I can't do Disney without doing that.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Like ever since I was little, it was like my favorite ride.
Yeah.
And when I walked into One Man's Dream and I saw the like scale model for it with the track, I can visualize it in my mind right now. And I was like, and I honestly, I feel like that's part of where like my interest in like scenic design sort of comes
from. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the scenic part of this is model. And it's also just like, it's like those vehicles. Sure, we could have gone through a Peter Pan dark ride with, you know, the track on the ground, but the track above and the flight, like the simple change that makes things so much more magical and exciting. I don't know. It feels like you.
Mm. Well, thank you. Mm. All right. Next category, Disney outfit / accessory.
Huh. Can I go easy for you? Can I go easy?
Yeah.
It's obviously Radigan's top hat and cape.
Oh, God bless.
I mean, come on. It literally couldn't be anything else. Like, I think of a lot of, like, you know, some of, like, the princess outfits that we drool over. But no, no. It's the top hat and the cape. Just because it's just, like, the detail. Like, it's, they're just, like, detailed and classy and, like, well-made. And, like, I mean, also, that's just, like, I feel like you go with that in your personal clothing as well. It's, like, you go for, like, the well-made, nicely detailed stuff.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. 100%. The panache.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
For you, it's the reason of like, if someone is throwing like a party or a ball, I wouldn't expect someone to roll up looking like this. But when they did, it became like the outfit that kind of blew my mind. And it's Anna's green coronation outfit. The coronation day outfit with the ribbons in her hair.
I love that.
That I remember watching that movie for the first time and I saw that outfit. I was like, this outfit, I've never seen. It's like, it's one of a kind.
Yeah.
There's not a single other Disney gown that like comes close to it with the pleating, the patterns. The black velvet. Mm. The ribbons.
It also has
in
the beautiful
hair.
Drop shoulder too, which
it has the
love.
Drop shoulder. It has the choker with like the the like jewel thing.
Yeah.
It's just like it's formal and fun at the same time.
Oh yeah.
And that's how I would imagine you at a ball. Formal and fun.
Ah, oh, I love that so much.
And our last category, Disney sidekick.
Easy. I know this one already. Oh, damn. I just thought of another one for you.
I have one, but I'm a little bit worried that you're going to have the same one for me.
Huh.
Okay, I'm going to say that you're Flounder.
Oh, shit.
Is that one of the ones that you had for me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I figured. But there's something very Flounder about you as well, where it's like you are willing to like drop anything and everything to do something for someone. And you're like, let's get there. Let's make it happen.
But I'm also
but
a guppy.
There's also moments where like, yeah, you're a guppy. Yeah. Where it's like, it's Tower of Terror. And you're like, oh, I'm a guppy. Oh, I'm not a guppy. Blah, blah, like that sort of thing. And that feels very you.
That's interesting. That's the element of, because I was like, oh, easy, you're Flounder. Because when I think about Flounder swimming Ariel out to that boat, that's you.
Yeah.
But then it was like the guppy part wasn't gelling for me. So even though I believe
there's... Oh, but except for haunted houses.
True.
That's my guppy moment.
True. But my other thought was Pascal. And here's why. Number one, efficiency. We know that you, like, you're efficient, but you, like, you know, the fact that you appreciate his efficiency, I think, says so much about you. I think at the end of the day, like, you're going to actually be the person who ends up, like, killing the villain. Like, everybody else is, like, getting all in a tizzy and running around, and you're just like, oh, I'll just trip her. That's like, that's you. Like, I'll end you in like the simplest possible way that nobody else even thought of.
Oh, I'll trip the
also,
bitch.
But also I feel like there are, number one, like Pascal has the ability to like the color changing is like, I feel like you're the kind of friend who like has the ability to like whatever your friend needs in the moment, like you can be that friend. Like you can be the listening ear, you can be the ridiculous person who's just gonna make a joke and make the person laugh like that. But I also feel like there are so many cut shots to Pascal just like rolling his eyes and like giving absolute sass and attitude like I'd be like, this is so ridiculous. And that's definitely you as well. But it's just always like he's always there, like whether he and I feel like he's a good judge of like, I'm just gonna like hang out in the background in this moment, and like if she needs me, I'll be there. And then sometimes it's like, no, you're messing it up. Like, let me like kind of like take center stage in this moment and like give my opinion. You know when to like adjust and be like, hey, I'm just going to step back. And when someone like really needs you and like is going to make a really stupid decision if you don't say anything.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. No, I was like, I was trying to go through the different sidekicks. I was like, who's the best fit for Caroline? And I was like, I think it's Flounder because it's like game to go with Ariel. Going to get freaked out a little bit along the way. Like, totally fine. But also is like, oh, Ariel's going to get kissed on a boat. Like, I'm going to be a part of this party. I'm going to squirt the water. Like, I'm going to amp up this moment, make this like, let's coordinate this. Let's do this the right way. But then also like, I'll sit there and I'll cry with you. And then it's like, you need to go out there. Like, great. Let's hustle and let's get you out to the boat. Like that sort of thing. And there's a lot of you in Flounder. I think
I love Flounder.
I do too. Flounder's the best.
Flounder's the best.
All right. Is there another sidekick that you would have chosen for yourself?
No, I actually was thinking, I'm like, I don't know what sidekick I am. Nothing was like,
because I was like, I don't feel like... I'm like, you're not like a Miko. I don't think you're like Tinkerbell. I think part of it is the fact that like, I don't think you're a sidekick. I think you're a leading lady. Like
main character energy, baby.
That's the difficult part. Oh god. Alrighty. Well, thank you all so much for sticking with us through this one. What a wild ride. If you liked what you heard, if you like games like this, if you like, you know, more episodes that this kind of fits your vibe, please remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast so all the episodes download to your device. You don't miss anything. Also, please, please, please hit the 5-star rating, leave a written review if you're able. Help us reach other people, help grow the podcast. Every little bit helps. So thank you very much for just taking the couple seconds to just write a few kind words and send it along.
And please give us a follow on social media. We are at Poor Unfortunate Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and we are at Unfortunate Pod on Twitter. So our Instagram stories, maybe some Instagram posts or a reel, you know, Instagram is going to be the spot, I believe, where you can go vote on your favorite answers from this episode. So definitely keep an eye on the socials. It'll probably be in our Instagram stories. And your votes are going to determine the winner, because otherwise this was a game with no winners and a game with no point. So please come vote.
Yeah. And a game with no points and a game with no winners is not a game at all. I want
so you. Oh, and as I always say as well, if you just want some more Poor Unfortunate podcasts in your life, if you want to get to know some other listeners, if you want a little bit more inside scoop about Disney trips that we go on, Disney trips that some of our listeners have went on, if you just want to connect with a wonderful community, please join us in our private Facebook group, the Poor Unfortunate Fam. We've got almost 100 people in there right now. And it's just such a wonderful place, and we would love to get to know you a bit better. So please pop on over. I know that Facebook is whatever, but that's the only reason I go on. So please give me a reason to check my Facebook.
And the last thing I'll say is that it does take us a little bit of money to keep the podcast up and running and coming to you all. We do have a PayPal account. It's linked in the episode description. Truly, anything that you have to spare goes a long way for us. Just sort of helps us keep the podcast free and, for the most part, ad-free. You can find the link in the episode description or in any of our social media bios as well. You can make a $1 donation, $5, $10, more than that. You can make it monthly. You can make it a one-time donation. It all really just goes right back into the podcast. So thank you very much for considering that. If you're not in a position to donate anything, that's totally fine too. A shout out on Instagram, a shout out on Facebook, telling your friends, a written review, that can do just as much for us in terms of just keeping things going. So thank you very much for that. And again, I am working on merchandise, so hopefully I will have that up and ready to go soon as like a surprise for everybody. Yeah, long time coming. Only took us, 3 years? Whatever. Listen,
slow and steady wins the race.
Well, y'all, we will do our very best to have another episode coming to you on our every other week schedule. again, if it doesn't happen, please bear with us. More of a reason to hit follow and subscribe. But until then, beluga sabruga.